Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Things have really taken a turn for the worse here on the DA show. We were just discussing skinny jeans, and I resisted them for quite a long time. My girlfriend convinced me that I would look great in them. I bought a pair of pseudo skinny jeans, and she just lavished praise on them. So I said, well, let's keep her happy. And I secretly kind of liked them when it was cold out because it kept my legs warmer. Mraz last segment, though, said I had a big butt in them. I would disagree. Maybe a bubble butt, but it's not a fat butt like Mraz has.
Puffiness with sodium.
Totally unnecessary.
And so now Twitter's blowing up, obviously. Jake tweeting in at the airport, hearing Mraz saying DA has a big butt on CBS Sports Radio. This is great. Daniel tweets, I think Mraz might be trying to hit on you just a little bit. And Danny tweets in a GIF of a girl who can't get her jeans on because her butt is too big. So I texted my girlfriend. I said, Mraz says, I've got a big butt. What do you think? She said, oh my God, no, you actually have a butt when you wear skinny jeans. I said, well, how would you describe it? She said, more like athletic. You don't have a big ass. I've seen it in the flesh. I'm glad we're clarifying all of this on a Thursday here on the DA show.
Got a big Thursday night game tonight.
So, tonight, Steelers and Titans, and two teams with playoff aspirations, and the Steelers are still the best bet in the AFC to take out the New England Patriots. And I say that even knowing that we all saw on opening night the Chiefs run circles around the Patriots' defense. The problem has been the Chiefs' offense has not looked nearly that efficient over the last 3 to 4 weeks as it did the first 3 to 4 weeks. And so I, like probably every other Chiefs fan as well, every Chiefs fan, that is that the Chiefs haven't ever proven that in a big spot they can play their best in the playoffs. Not under this regime, and maybe not ever since Len Dawson won a Super Bowl back in 1970. The Chiefs have annually, perennially, traditionally not given their best effort, played their best when it mattered most. And this has happened under Andy Reid as well. The Chiefs had the bye, the number two seed last year. They lost to the Steelers in the divisional round, and they did not play a great game. The Chiefs in the playoffs have gotten the monkey off their back of not being able to win a playoff game, but have meekly exited mostly every year under Andy Reid. This goes back to the Herm Edwards years. It goes back to the Marty Schottenheimer years. It goes back to the Gunther Cunningham years. It goes back to the Dick Vermeil years. You have now about 30 years worth of the Chiefs exiting the playoffs meekly. And so while I would love to believe the Chiefs can put up 38 points on the Patriots and get to a Super Bowl, I can't buy that right now with the way that they're playing, nor their history. The Steelers, though, have gone to the Super Bowl with Big Ben three times. They've gone to two Super Bowls with Mike Tomlin. They have maybe the best collection of offensive weapons of the NFL. When you have Roethlisberger, a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and to be fair, I think Roethlisberger's in. I think Eli Manning may not be in. I know a lot of people lump them all together, but I think it's going to be much harder for Eli to get in. Big Ben, though, I think is getting in. And so Ben Roethlisberger has a Hall of Fame plaque waiting for him one day. He has Antonio Brown, one of the best big play receivers in football. He has Le'Veon Bell, one of the best all-around running backs in football. He has Juju Schuster-Smith, who has been fantastic as a young wide receiver. And he had Martavis Bryant, but apparently it doesn't really matter anymore because they put Juju in there, and all things considered, Juju's been really productive. So why can't the Pittsburgh Steelers put it all together? Why are the Steelers continuously running into walls and stubbing their toe? Why has this offense never been able to hit 30 points this season when they should be the best offense in football? I really believe this has to do at the top with the power, I don't want to say power struggle, but power discomfort amongst the three guys at the top: Ben, Mike Tomlin, Todd Haley. I don't think those three work well together, which is weird because the Steelers were in the AFC Championship game last year, and the Steelers are 7-2 and tied for the best record of the AFC. And the Steelers, with a win tonight, would go to 8-2 and keep the pressure on the Patriots. And I don't think New England wants to go to Heinz Field in the AFC Championship game. They'd much rather have that at home. The Patriots don't often play away from Gillette in the playoffs, but when they do, they haven't won in a really long time, more than a decade. So why can't they get this thing together? Why did it take them into the third quarter to wake up last week against the worst defense in football, and that's the Colts? Why did they struggle to beat the Lions, to beat the Colts, to beat the Browns in week one? Why did they lose to a bad Bears team or throw five interceptions against the Jaguars? I think this thing comes down to Roethlisberger, Tomlin, and Todd Haley are all alpha males, and in their own way, shape, or form, are a little high maintenance. Roethlisberger is known as a tough guy. Punch him in the nose, he'll punch back. A defensive player's mentality in an offensive player's body. But I think Ben Roethlisberger can be needy at times. I think he can be high maintenance at times. I think he wanted his way at times. And he is tired of some of the other antics of some of the other guys around him, like Martavis, like AB, like Le'Veon Bell's holdout. I think he's sick of that type of stuff. That's not why he's high maintenance. He's high maintenance, though, when he has to go public with every grievance that he has. And that includes, maybe I'll retire. Maybe I don't have it anymore. Maybe I'm not happy. All that type of stuff. I think he is very bullheaded. And when he is told something by Tomlin or Haley, he can get real upset, and he can also go public with it. And he can show that frustration to his teammates in the locker room. With the way the anthem was handled with the Steelers, with Al Villanueva staying in, but being at the opening of the tunnel, the rest of the guys not coming out, Al having to apologize, all of that, Roethlisberger was upset with Mike Tomlin. That doesn't need to be made public, though. Now, you think about Tom Brady. Do you think he loves everything that the Patriots organization has done? Like give him Rashé Crazy Eyes Caldwell as his number one receiver? Do you think that he's been happy when they've cycled through other nondescript wideouts or thrilled when they let another defensive player go because he's too expensive? No, but you'll never hear him say that. And I know he can't be behind the scenes openly feuding and showing the rest of the team that. So I think Ben has part of the responsibility here. Mike Tomlin runs real hot, and I think that filters down to that locker room. That he is in your face, he's aggressive, he is emotional. It's hard to keep that level through an entire NFL season, and it's hard to do that for a decade as a head coach. I think some guys tune him out. I think some guys don't listen to him. I mean, look, the way that Martavis Bryant has acted, the way that AB putting on Facebook Live last year in the players' locker room after the win in Kansas City, I think at times Tomlin has had trouble keeping it all in the pot. And then Todd Haley can be a jerk. He can just flat out be a stubborn jerk. And all these guys are trying to work together. Ask anybody in Kansas City how it was to cover the Chiefs when Todd Haley was head coach. It was miserable for people. Part of that was Scott Pioli. Part of that was Todd Haley. He could just be a diva. He could just be a difficult guy to work with. And so you throw all of this into this, and I think there's a lot of stubborn personalities at the top of that food chain and that they have tough times working together. They have supremely talented guys, but they also have guys in AB, in Bell, now Martavis Bryant, who wants to be traded openly, feuding with the front office, who are also high maintenance. I mean, let's face it. It's just there is so many emotions and so many personalities and so many egos that they have the tough time balancing it all. I hate to keep using the Patriots as the example, but they have to be an example. I mean, it's kind of pathetic the way that Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola kiss the ass of Tom Brady. I'll do anything. How many passes do you want to throw me after? I'll wash your car. I'll clean your house. I'll buy you a Roomba. I'll do whatever. I'll feed the kids. Do you ever hear that going on with Ben Roethlisberger? I realize Ben's not a living legend like Tom is, but all those guys also are kind of in it for themselves at times. And I just think that there's enough of a friction there that they're never able to kind of keep it quiet, keep business, and go out there and just kill teams because they should be able to. They had a defense that shut down the Chiefs to 13 points. If their offense would put up what they should, 30, they'd be the best team in football. It wouldn't be the Eagles. It wouldn't be the Patriots. It wouldn't have been the Chiefs early in the season. If the Steelers put it all together, they'd be the best team in football. But they just have a tough time all getting on the same page. There's just so many egos, and they don't have that singular, quiet force that just kind of keeps it all together. So tonight, I mean, look, they could end up winning this game 33-10. That wouldn't surprise me at all because they have that potential. But when are they going to live up to that potential? And will they eventually live up to it in the playoffs and win a Super Bowl? Or will they once again fall short and underachieve? When we come back here on the show, Steve Tasker is going to talk about tonight's Steelers and Titans game and his old team, the Bills, making a surprising quarterback switch while they're still in the playoff race. TA, CBS Sports Radio. Want to experience great live music? Go to LiveNation.com to buy tickets to Pink, Foo Fighters, Jay-Z, Guns N' Roses, Demi Lovato, Maroon 5, the biggest country artists, and more. The greatest concerts to give you the best memories are at LiveNation.com. Get tickets now. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Tonight, Steelers and Titans on Thursday Night Football. Two teams with designs on getting to the postseason. And joining us here on the show is former Bills great, now a member of the NFL on CBS broadcast teams, analyst Steve Tasker. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, I want to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers because they've got Super Bowl aspirations. They are one of the best teams in the league. And yet, with all of that weaponry on offense, they can't seem to kind of break out. They have yet to hit 30 points this season. What do you think the key is for that offense finally living up to its potential?
I think a little bit of it has to do with consistency. They've got to run the ball when they want to run it, and they've got to be able to throw it well enough when they want to throw it to stay on the football field offensively and defensively. It's kind of the same thing. You can't let big plays go. You can't let teams leak out in the run game. And I think one thing that would really help the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they got a few more turnovers, that's always a good thing. It's not one of those things where this is a bad team that's got a glaring weakness, but I do think they can play just with a little more grit than I've seen them play this year. This is a team that, you know, back in the day, they were ready to fight after every third down. And, I don't see that so much this year. And I think some of it stems from, I think, Ben Roethlisberger, even from the beginning of the season, was toying with maybe, you know, this may be his last year, kind of dangling that out there. I think that gets in the way sometimes of a team that really wants to cut it loose. But no question, they're a good football team.
One of the concerns surrounding the Steelers in Pittsburgh is the relationship between Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger. There's a concern that it once wasn't that great. It got better. Maybe it's not that great anymore. Do you think that that has anything to do with why they haven't been able to kind of reach their potential?
Well, there's certainly that has been out there, no question about it. And both those guys, I mean, I've met and spoken with both of them. Todd Haley has some deep beliefs about how to run an offense. And, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, as any good quarterback has some pretty strong beliefs about what he wants to run. And unless those two guys get together, they've got to come to at least a truce or an understanding about how they're going to run the offense, what it's going to look like, and what they're going to do. So until they come to an understanding, you're right. I mean, it is out there that those – two have not been getting along, or at least are butting heads. That was the way it was early in their tenure as well. They didn't get along at all, and it kind of went away when they had some success, and now when they're making another playoff push, I would tend to say it's overblown. There is probably some tension there, some things that they still don't agree on. But having said that, I think these are two guys that know that in order to make this season everything they want it to be, they're going to have to work together. I think you can count on them doing that.
Steve Tasker joins us from the NFL on CBS. Steelers and Titans tonight. Titans are 6-3, tied atop the AFC South Division with the Jacksonville Jaguars. In your estimation, who's the better football team, Jags or Titans in that division?
Well, I like the Jaguars. I mean, they're a good football team. They're playing. Leonard Fournette gives them something that they haven't had for a while, and that is a big bruising running back who can also get to the edge. They've got a great swag about them. I think their defense has made all the difference for them. That has been an enormous surprise to a lot of people. With all the teams that they have put together down there, there's been a lot of years where the talent didn't add up to what was on the field or maybe the talent was more than what was on the field. They just didn't put it together. Well, now Doug Marrone has got them playing extremely good defensive football, and that gives them a chance in every game, and I think that's been the difference. They have taken a lot of the pressure away from Blake Bortles. They've kind of taken the game out of his hands. Fournette has allowed them to do that. That's also given them a little bit more of a boost than you would think it would, and I think as long as they can continue to do that, they're going to be tough to beat.
You know that the Buffalo Bills are seeking that first playoff bid since 1999, and now they've made a quarterback switch going to young Nate Peterman, the rookie. Do you think this was the right move by Sean McDermott?
Well, it remains to be seen, and certainly they've made some giant decisions of this nature throughout the course of McDermott's short tenure here in Buffalo. They made a handful of trades. Some of the best and most recognizable names on the roster were traded away for draft picks and other players as well. All those moves have seemed to be a positive. They're in the playoff mix at the halfway point of the season. They feel like they're in a good spot. And of late, defenses have begun to take Tyrod Taylor away, and that means LeSean McCoy has been easy to focus on for the defenses. And they have needed a spark. They have not been able to stay on the field with first downs. The New Orleans Saints this last week had 41 minutes of possession time, and the Bills, as a subsequent consequence of that, gave up 298 yards rushing this last weekend. So in order to get some complimentary football going, the Bills' offense has to stay on the field, and Tyrod Taylor was not doing that. They felt they needed this spark to make it happen, and they made this move.
Steve Tasker joins us, NFL on CBS analyst. I want to ask you about the Greg Olsen situation, because you have a very unique perspective on this. As a former player yourself, you're working with a telecast, with a broadcast, speaking to coaches, some inside information or whatnot. Obviously, you're retired. When it comes to Greg Olsen and the Vikings being concerned that he, as an active player, is going to be on a broadcast of a game where he might have inside information against the opponent in an upcoming week, do you think that's a legitimate concern by the Vikings or much ado about nothing?
I would say it's much ado about nothing. I mean, there's no question that job one for a broadcaster is to, when you go into these production meetings with head coaches and players and coordinators on both sides of the ball, on both sidelines before game, job one is to not do or say anything that will tip the competitive balance of the game you're doing. That's job one. Secondly, it's hard to get a head coach or player to speak about issues that are actually relevant to that game or other games. They're just too tight-lipped. And I think since they know he's a current player, I don't think they're going to give him much information. I would be more concerned about Olsen's regular team, the other team. That's a huge, it's, you have to work really hard in the broadcast business to make it look very easy. It sounds easy. It looks easy when you're in the booth. Guys just talk off the cuff. It sounds like they're just kind of showing up and having fun with their partner in the booth. You got to put a lot of work in to make it happen and make it sound smooth and easy. And I think that's got to be a huge distraction for Olsen, for a guy who's actually an active player who's got a lot to think about for his own career and own season coming up. I'm thinking, it's equating to a guy, going into the office all week away from the team while you're on the bye week. And it's, I think it's a bigger distraction, a bigger problem for Olsen and his team than it is for the Minnesota Vikings and down the road for them this season.
That's interesting. Final question for you. There's going to be an interesting race for one of the final two AFC playoff slots. And that Bills team's in that mix. And we've mentioned a couple of other teams that might be in the mix as well, the team that does not win the AFC South. Do you think the Bills, by making a quarterback change right now, can make that first playoff bid since 99, even with a rookie quarterback down the stretch?
Well, they certainly could. They're going to have to get a spark on offense. Early in the season, they were doing extremely well, and they were making getting a lot of wins. I mean, this is a team that when the season started, there's no way you could have said that they were going to beat Atlanta, they were going to beat Denver, they were going to win a game against Tampa Bay and then beat Oakland as well. But those are the four or five games they've won. Those, before the season started, those were four teams that were really going to take a step forward this year, Atlanta being the NFC defending champions. And the Bills beat all of those teams, and they were doing it because the Bills' defense was churning out turnovers at an incredible rate. Now, there was a three-game stretch where they had 15 turnovers. So that is what has fueled their run to the playoffs. Other than that, when those turnovers dried up, as they have in the last two games, they looked bad against the Jets and they looked horrific against New Orleans. Unless Nathan Peterman can come in and spark an offense to score some points, I don't know if the Bills can make that run. But if he can, and this defense gets more opportunities to be on the field when a team is not playing with a double-digit lead, yeah, and the turnovers will start to come again, and this is a team that could do that. And plus, look at the other teams. I mean, Miami, Baltimore. It's out there to be had for the AFC. That wild card. You're right. Those last two wild card spots are up for grabs, and it'll be interesting to see which team comes away with it.
Steve Tasker, analyst for the NFL on CBS, joining us here on the show, the CBS Sports Radio Network. Thanks so much, Steve. It's always great to catch up. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Steve Tasker is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, We've got your cut line and your epic fail, the story that did not make the cut, and the best moment of the day, or the worst moment of the day, depending on your perspective.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's new on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. On a brand new venture for us, Throwback Thursday, playing a little good old school vintage promos from CBS's older years, and a little reminder that you can always watch the show at watchda.com. That just kind of loops the most recent episode every single day after we are off the air, so you can tune into watchda.com at any time. You can also listen to the show at any time that you want. It's DA on demand. Simply go to iTunes and search this show, full episodes available, or on our website, daoncbs.com. Full episodes are available there, so listen to us or watch us whenever you want. We decided yesterday, after doing some of the math, that the 12 DAs of Christmas would end up starting, it looks like, roughly December 4th.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
For those of you that are new to this time slot, this is our annual countdown to the 12 greatest moments of the DA show's calendar year. And we count them down day by day. So we usually do this with 12 shows to go that I'll be hosting before December 31st, mixing and matching days that I'd be out for the holidays. So we have to get down to the nitty-gritty. After Thanksgiving next week, we have to have some of the first four out ready to go, because we usually get about 16 of these bad boys that are worthy of replaying. And so we are also looking for your feedback on this. You can hit us up on Facebook tomorrow for little Target Demo Friday, on Twitter, DA on CBS, let us know. Longtime DA alien Tosh in L.A. emailed me, come on, DA, number one is easily a compilation of you and Mraz going at each other about the Yankees deserving another ring, and of course, his moronic World Series guarantee. It spans weeks, I know, but it was ridiculously entertaining. Lots of gloating, drops, songs, and bad singing. Oh, and Art Garfunkel needs to be in the top 10 as well, but maybe at number 10. Old man, awkward, and cringeworthy at best. Makes me shiver. We would have to create some type of compilation between you gloating about the Yankees, me shoving it back in your face, the oinking, the squealing, the grunting, the rooting around. But it wasn't just one moment, but I think that that's a possibility to figure out maybe the best of to throw in there.
Well, it's a good point because it was a storyline. It was an important storyline from the year on the DA show, so I think that counts. The problem is, once again, this creates more work for me as I did not pull that as a candidate.
And you're very out on more work.
Very out. I mean, you had me printed 15 coaches' heads for Ralph Russo earlier. I am taxed today.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't even find a color printer for poor Ralph.
Couldn't find a color printer.
Josh tweets, I'm getting through another morning at work with DA. Hell of a show, guys. Thanks for keeping me company. That's what we're here to do.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
That is what we are here to do. So if you guys want to send us any of your suggestions about the upcoming 12 DAs, certainly let us know. More tweets coming in, DA on CBS. JMH, I'm a lifelong Cowboy fan, DA, so I'm blindly loyal backing Jerry. Can you help me? Yeah, don't be loyal blindly rooting for Jerry or supporting Jerry. Know that even your owner can be a doofus sometimes. I mean, I don't think it's that tough to separate your owner from your team. It's easy to root for the guys on the field, the players actually making the plays. You want to root for your coach to not be a bozo. But in terms of the owner, these owners are 32 guys. Granted, the Packers are not one owner, but these are 32 entities that you and I have no relationship to. They merely own the business that we support. But in terms of their lifestyle, their decisions, the type of people that they are, we do not share anything in common. You know, we in this country, we have kind of divided ourselves between political parties. If you believe this, then I don't believe, then I can't be with you. If you voted for that guy, we have nothing in common. That could be further from the truth. The real separation is these people at the top of these corporations that live lives that are totally different from ours. I could go anywhere in the country and know that if you vote a Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, somewhere in the middle, somewhere on the polar extremes, that you could somehow find a common ground. But what do you think you... What similarities do we have with somebody that's worth $1 billion? There ain't nothing. There's nothing. Whether a guy should stand or kneel for the national anthem, that's about where our commonality would end. So whoever your owner is, if he's an egomaniac and he's run amok and he's making himself look like a buffoon, you can just admit that, yeah, that's what that guy looks like. And I always feel like this in sports. Blind loyalty should only take you so far. Loyalty is totally cool. Support your team, be in it for the team, all that type of stuff. Blind loyalty is dangerous at every stage of life. If you believe the people that you lionize, you put on pedestals, you follow, you support, can do no wrong, you're going to be let down. You're going to be let down. Whether it's a parent, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a relative, whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, if you think that that person is perfect or that entity is perfect, you will be led off of a cliff. Same thing with our teams. I'm a huge New York Mets fan. Huge. I will never not root for the team. I can't imagine it. But I can easily distance myself from moronic ownership. I can easily point to owners or managers or players and go, bozo, idiot, moron. I can easily point to Jose Reyes as a domestic violence abuser and go, I will not root for that guy. I don't have to be blindly loyal to things that I openly disagree with or I don't support. So everybody has that choice. And if you're a Cowboys fan, root for the star, root for the players, root for wins on Sunday. I totally get it. Don't root for Greg Hardy. And admit that Jerry Jones right now is off the reservation and acting like a buffoon. Let's get to your cut line of the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
The Athletic is reporting that the NHL has had conversations with Houston about bringing a hockey team to the Texas City. New Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta recently bought the Rockets from Les Alexander. And he says openly he wants to bring a hockey team to Houston. I don't think they're going to expand right now. I mean, maybe they would, but if there's relocation, which might be a more immediate option after they just expanded with Las Vegas, maybe they would expand to Houston, but if there was relocation, Ottawa is in the conversation. Phoenix is in the conversation. Calgary is in the conversation. All teams that feel like they need better arena options. And it's crazy. I mean, you know, the Dallas Stars, when they've been good, have been pretty successful in Dallas. So it's not like Texas can't support hockey. Does Texas need two teams? Perhaps not, but more than that, Houston is a massive, massive city. What I think a lot of people don't realize is the fourth most populated city in America. It's the fourth largest market in America. New York is biggest, LA is two, Chicago is three, and Houston is four, and Houston is making strides on Chicago. So it's a non-traditional market, but it's got a hell of a lot of people in it. And the fact that the owner of the arena says, yeah, we want hockey here. We've got an arena. It's downtown, and we'll put the team right in here, means that they might have just become the next pawn in the never-ending arena shuffle that goes on with all of these leagues.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
David Blackburn was the former athletic director at UT Chattanooga. He also has connections to the University of Tennessee. A lot of people hope that Blackburn would get the recent opening at UT as athletic director. He's been longtime friends with John Gruden ever since Gruden was a grad assistant at the Vols, with the Vols. And David Blackburn says he could see John Gruden being open and listening to an offer from the Vols to be their next head coach. Frankly, I think this is pie in the sky. I don't think there's any reason that John Gruden would seriously come back to coach football when you think about him making $7 million a year to work 2 days a week, 3 days a week, calling games with no pressure on him versus coming back to the sideline and needing to do all the little things, speaking circuits, recruiting, film watching, and be under fire. It sounds good to all of us. Oh, yeah, go back, be a hero. And maybe there's some of that that strokes your ego, but Gruden's got it too good, I think, to come back.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And Ben McAdoo, beacon of light Ben, says he had a brutally honest meeting, long, hard, honest meeting with Giants players yesterday. What's great about this is Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, one of the guys that McAdoo has feuded with, was asked whether being at 1-8, are they 1-8 or 1-9? 1-8.
1-8.
Whether being at 1-8 and having this was too little too late. And DRC said, quote, yeah, definitely. He said, I think it would have put guys in a different attention on alert back then because nobody would want to be called out.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
I think it could have helped if this was done earlier, but at least it got done. So, I mean, everything is going swimmingly with the New York Giants. I would say almost the entire defensive secondary is tuned out and feuded with Ben McAdoo or flat out quit openly on the team. You've got anonymous sources trashing him. He's dead man walking. You can't imagine he survives this after the season. You've got former players that are talking about what an egomaniac he is and how he's just, he's lost the whole locker room. And here's Ben McAdoo saying, all right, at 1-9, I am coming after you guys. We got to have a brutally long, honest discussion. And players are like, yeah, coach, we're 1-9, man. We're 1-8. Season's over. It would have been nice if this was done like yesterday.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Or like a month and a half ago when you were 1-2 or 1-3. No, they were 0-4. Oh, God, what a disgraceful season. They were never even 1-3. Yeah, this would have worked in the first month, like late September, coach. But now everybody's already cleaning out their locker mentally. Oh, but, you know, he's got their attention now. Thanksgiving at 1-8. Now he's got their attention. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. I never thought this show would spiral down the drain like this, but Mraz is talking about my butt.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I had to go get a new pair of pants, and they were kind of like skinny pants. They were like halfway there. She's like, I love those on you. I love those. You look great in those. I love those. So, you know, I start getting a big head. I'm like, all right, okay. I wore them on one of these cold days here in New York a couple of days ago. They were great. It was like yoga pants. I'm like, strapped these on. Are so warm.
Giant gains.
You wear baggy pants, the draft comes up. You feel like there's too much space, cold air around your thighs and legs. The skinnier the pant leg, the warmer you stay. I had no idea about this.
Yeah, I would also say when you wear the skinnier jeans, I gotta be honest. You're working with some big lower center of gravity back there. It really is defined.
Hump?
Big rumpus there.
Are you saying I've got a big butt?
Yes. I never noticed your behind.
His rear end was up in the air. His nose and his arms are down on the ground.
But when you wear the tight jeans, I got to be honest, you got a lot of junk in the trunk.
Is that a compliment?
I think it's a compliment because you're very skinny all over the place, and that's where the, you know, when you're eating the barbecue on Nomad, we know where it's going.
He's got a big rear end.
It is a, my family has very strong legs. They got big thighs, big legs, big butt.
Very deceiving behind.
Yeah, but You know, I try to make sure that it's not too flabby or gross. It's hopefully put together.
Again, I wouldn't know the reality of that, but firm. But the tight jeans at least hold everything together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't have a flat butt, that's for sure.
No, it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. You got a lot cooking back there. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Chubbo.
Puffiness with sodium.
Now I know, you know, what kind of gal Amber Lee is with the skinny jeans.
She doesn't want me bringing Hoochie Mamas back.
She likes, yeah, I guess so. She likes something to hang on to, I suppose.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
She described it in the text message as athletic. Athletic. More tweets coming in. DA on CBS. Brock tweeting, serious question for you. Are we really supposed to believe that the NFL would dispose of the Cowboys franchise? I think that's absurd. Of course not. First of all, the Cowboys franchise will live forever. It is the most profitable and valuable franchise that the NFL has in an NFL mad city. So it's never going anywhere. Would they ever take away the ownership from Jerry Jones? I would say less than a 1% shot that ever happens. But even if they do, it stays within the family and goes to Stephen Jones. So, but is Jerry under fire and could get a draft pick, Doc, because he's acting like a moron? Yeah. Thanks to Sean Mraz, the executive producer of the DA Show. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast at watchda.com. And Connor Green as associate producer today. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.